Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Corey Sandin. Rock Cod Rick's up in the Sierras at Adventure and Camping. Looking forward to a report from Adventure and Camping from him. He's up there with the baby's first camping trip.
What a perfect time of the year.
First and with Dallas. And Corey Sandin's here with me, and we have a great guest. Breck Giroux from Hogan's Tackle, talking some great fishing up in Dana Point and Orange County area there with Breck, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and it's really been a fun show.
Him and his wife are awesome people and just good-hearted people. You know, the shop's awesome, and if you want to give us a shout, 213-432-1090, or text us via the app. We're giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing. Fish with Taro there, hop on a full day trip, and some fun fishing.
Couple lines open right now. You want to get through, here's your chance. 213-432-1090. But in the meantime, let's find out what's biting, Corey.
Yeah, and the catch report today is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as Fish Pros of Market. You can purchase fresh fish, smoked, jerkied fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheeses. Their tuna burgers, their poke kit, and you can stop by their location at Old Town. You know, one thing I didn't see there was the ceviche.
The ceviche spice.
Man. Yeah, you got to pick that one up for sure. And their wag treats, you know.
The wiggle treats.
Oh, for the dried skin for the dogs. They love it.
Oh, yeah.
Stop by their Taylor Street location, or you can order online at fishmansprocessing.com. Be sure to check them out at the Real Fisherman's Processing online, or you can also, definite must, you have to make reservations. Like, you're booking your trip for next year, you better
make
be booking your
processing reservations. And it's easy, you just text them. The best thing to do is just text them, 619-255-3128. 619-255-3128, that's Fisherman's Processing. Let's talk to Captain Mark Wish with our private boater buddy, our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Pete, Corey, Breck. Great show. Fun stuff this morning here. So, well, our incredible summer season's now behind us. It's hard to believe, you know.
Is that right? Is it, Mark?
Yeah. Well, calendar-wise, you know, this is the first weekend of our fine fall fishing. And, you know, I don't know that it's going to make a hell of a lot of difference for a while, but things are changing. Yeah, it has. You know, conditions offshore are definitely changing. And, you know, for years when I spent most of my life offshore, I always noticed right around the time of the equinox, we'd start seeing the visible signs of that seasonal change. And I was out Monday fishing and saw the first V formation of Canada geese heading south. And that's the forerunner of things to come. So,
it's
far from over, guys. And so as to them tuna fish, that sector between the islands, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And all the way from up above that northeast corner of the SBI closure over toward that 172 and even a little bit inside the west end of Catalina and then down the back toward the 499, that whole sector. It's been steady. Yellowfin and mostly focused on that bluefin and some of that bigger bluefin. It's definitely been steady, but it shows sign of that fish maybe getting on the move a little bit. I was just talking to Danny from Fish Dope just a little bit ago, and he had reports from last night. It was tough going, and it's definitely changing a little bit. So we'll see if it rebites back in there or if it's going to get on the move a little bit. But man, there's been some big ones up there. There's been multiple fish over 200 pounds here this week. But along with that bluefin, there's more yellowfin showing. Some of it's mixed in with the bluefin schools, but some of those bigger models, yellowfin or on the dolphins, that's some of my favorite fun fishing. You get some of that trolling through them, but we always done best getting ahead of the school, throwing some baits, whether it's chunks or live, and then dropping baits back on like 30 and 40 pound fluorocarbon there. And and hold on, because a lot of that fish on the dolphins at this time of year, it's good grade, you know, can be 30, 40, and as much as 60 and 70. So that's fun fishing. And then as to those Dorados, you know, we had an amazing run of them things like we've never seen before. But things are changing there. It seems like that area is moving out and down, and the guys are seeing them on some kelps, but they're not biting. So if you want to get one, don't delay. Light line, small hook, and a hot bait. You might have to fish a lot of kelps before you get your Dorado dinner there. And at San Clemente Island, you know, it's been good. And most of the guys are kind of fishing along the front. You know, there's been some nice yellows on the front there, stock spots, Gold Bluff, on down towards Persing like that. But some of that big tanker grade stuff showed up around Backside West. You know, they're big boys tearing up tackle, so you got to fish with your heavy gear. But it was pretty good here the last couple of days. And then Catalina, I hadn't fished Catalina for quite some time. And it was really nice to go in there Monday. You know, we looked at a bunch of kelps in the morning for nothing. I mean a bunch. It was flat, calm, and I was finding those things a long ways away in the gyros. But nothing, not a single bite. So we went into the island and had some surprisingly good bass fishing, biting that sardine. We had some nice sardines. And the bass were biting and marked several schools of yellows. And we managed to catch one and actually landed one before the seals got on us. God, I got to tell you, that seal situation over there is absolutely horrible. I mean, it's horrible. We'll just leave it at that. But there's definitely some nice great yellows around. And then along the coast here, Santa Monica Bay, you know, finally woke up a little bit. That bass fishing's good. Rocky Point's been good, you know, mostly in the afternoon there. And then Palos Verde's been pretty good. And some of the spots on Huntington Beach and then the pipe down there right on the border, Newport, Huntington, like that. That pipe has been really good bass fishing. And this time of year, we start maybe seeing a bigger sea bass and definitely maybe seeing a bigger yellowtail or two there. So overall, it's pretty darn good fishing, pretty nice weather. And, guys, I think you ought to go fishing. Time to go.
Yeah. You know, Mark, you were talking about those kelps with tons of Dorado on them or they don't want to bite. I found one of those on Tuesday. And Breck had a really great suggestion, and that was cut live sardines up, right?
Yeah. If you have mackerel or live sardines, it's got to be live. Take a couple of those and chunk them, you know, real quick right there. And don't throw, you know, a ton of chunks in, but three, four. But that chunking a live bait really has been always what I've done.
Better than just a dead bait. A live bait is bloody and
more smell, more blood, you know. That
gets them fired up.
Gets them fired up, and you can even put a chunk on a hook, put it right down there in that chunk line, or if they really get fired up, maybe they'll eat the live bait then. But that's a good way to go about it, especially in the private boat where you don't have a ton of bait capacity to throw at these things. So,
yeah, that's for sure. That's a good tip.
That's a good one.
But
Danny,
it's kind of crazy how it seems like that Dorado moves in and hangs around and doesn't bite for a while, and all of a sudden decides to bite, which it certainly did this year. And then toward the end, it seems like they are still around but kind of quit biting, which it looks like we're starting to see. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to see the end of that here fairly soon. Hopefully not. But
moving around.
Yeah,
so things are changing, and that's why you need fishdope.com. Fish Dope, $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. Year round, Fish Dope has the information, especially this time of the year when things are transitioning. You need Fish Dope more than ever. And Captain Mark Wish, how do we find you?
Well, P, we're in Huntington Beach. We're right on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by that Chevron station. But Corey, I should have let Corey say that for
right?
me.
Right, exactly.
So well.
Right?
Yeah, and phone number 71. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know where you saw those Canadian geese. Those were flying to the Seal Beach farming land right there.
You know, those things, they had that population, I don't think, left this year. They hang around one of the little parks with the lake and a whole bunch of them. I haven't seen them come in. No, this was offshore. And we see them, you know, flying down the coast.
Wow.
But, yeah, when you start seeing them V formations of geese, man, that's a harbinger of change.
Yeah, and I cut you off with your telephone number, Mark. 714?
Oh, it's 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, you know, something else we're going to be talking about with the change of the seasons coming is lobster season. We got in a ton of stuff in the tackle store there. And, God, it's hard to believe we're going to be talking about lobsters. And 200-pound
from today. The season opens a week from today. And tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, we're going to have the guys from Promar. Steve and Will are going to be here talking lobster tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup. So you'll have to tune in.
Oh, that'll be a great show.
Yeah, for sure.
This fishing's been so good and so much variety and so much big fish, and now, you know, it seemed like lobster season started at the end of fishing season, not anymore.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
Pretty crazy, for sure. Well, hey, Mark, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it, guys. We'll see you.
All right. While we're waiting for Marcos, let's jump into those jam-packed phones.
Let's do it. How about Ralph? Ralph calling from Menifee. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, boys. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right. You guys were discussing fishing around the Grunion earlier, and if I recall right, I remember a show where Captain Dave Hansen was on, and he was mentioning using Grunion for other means as far as catching other fish. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So Grunion are one of those fish that you can harvest by hand on certain times of the year. There's open seasons and closed seasons on them there, but pretty much everything inshore, calico bass, halibut, white sea bass, sand bass, everything will eat a grunion there. And especially when you're fishing that shallower water, you know, 40 feet, 30 feet, 20 feet there, you want to go down, get some grunion, kind of take care of them real nice, put them in the freezer, save them. A lot of guys will do that. It's actually a really good just natural bait that those fish
rather than eat them, freeze them for bait.
Yeah, freeze them for bait there, absolutely. Yeah.
And so they're durable. That's the thing.
Correct. Oh, they're tough skin on them.
Yes.
Really tough skin on them there.
So what? Where do they go when they're not spawning? That's the big question I have.
You know, I'm not a grunion expert there, and they don't school like our anchovy or sardine, but as far as I know, they're just going to sneak out in that little bit deeper water there and just much smaller schools of fish than what we're used to seeing in our live bait fishery here. And that's why, you know, there's no commercial fishing of them. You can't net them. You can't really, you know, get them in any other way.
It's such a cool, unique bait fish, really.
Sure.
It's from Central Baja to Point Conception.
Sure.
That's it, period. And they go up on the beach to spawn, and there is no other fish.
And that's typically in the spring.
Typically, spring is the bigger spawns.
Through summer. Kind of ending about now.
But it's a neat thing to see. If you've never seen a grunion run there, you can take the family down to the beach, and all of a sudden, you know, you're standing on the sand, and all these fish are just working their way up into the sand, out of the water. A little creepy the first time, but it's really cool when you kind of stop and see what nature's doing around you there.
It is. It's really a unique thing. Like, above there, they're surf smelled above Point Conception,
correct,
which they throw... Legally, they throw nets to catch them, but they only come in to 4-6 inches of water, and they're running from the striper and from whatever else is chasing
getting
them.
Pushed up on the beach by all the predator fish.
Yeah, so unique. I love it.
Yeah, so basically, and how do they predict the grunion runs? Is it all about the tides?
I think it's all based on the moon phase,
of
course, affects the tides there. But, I mean, you know, you can look at some of your little fishing calendars, and they'll have it this date and this time, and it's pretty much clockwork to when that fish is going to be there.
It's going to be there.
I'll give you a 20-second tutorial of how to do it. The highest tide of the full moon, or dark of the moon, they come up, lay their eggs, because the tide will never reach there again for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So they stay down 6-8 inches, incubating in the moist, warm, sun-laden sand. When the tide reaches there the next dark or full of the moon, that tide reaches up there. They then hatch, and on they go. It's a two-week cycle.
So it's the peak tide of whatever moon phase it is.
So I brought this up with Bill Varney. And so the Fish and Wildlife had a big question as to why the grunion...
And why can they predict them?
Why they're depleting. Like, why the numbers are going down. Here's my conception of the whole thing. The lifeguards run their vehicles up and down the sand all day, and where are they doing it? They're not doing it in the water. They're not doing it on the fluffy sand. They're doing it on the hard-packed sand at the highest point. Thank you. I'll get off my soapbox.
No, that's interesting.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So maybe the lifeguard shouldn't be doing that.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, fishermen are conservationists and conservation-minded.
Yeah.
There's my 2 cents.
Maybe those people that do all the closures in Laguna Beach will be on the forefront of spearheading that. Huh?
Just think about it. Think about what I just said.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that would be an easy thing to plan around.
Yeah. Right?
So. I mean, they are four-wheel drive. They can drive in the soft sand.
Like go 10 feet further. Yeah.
Just for 2 weeks.
Just for the peaks.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. All right, let's continue our catch report. Marcos from that guy on the radio, Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning?
Everything's great. Things are a-changing, huh?
Yeah, still really good fishing this week. We had a couple days there where it was a little bit tougher, where they might have only caught limits of Dorado and maybe one or two tuna. But overall, it's still been very good on all those trips. Lots of Dorado. Still seeing some bluefin. And there's some bigger fish sneaking into the mix here, too, this week here. So bluefin, yellowfin, still some yellowtail in there. Like I said, a little less consistent than the previous week, but it's kind of hard to get more consistent than what we've had. So that's bound to happen eventually. Weather's really nice out there. Just overall, I mean, coming to the end of September here, we still have great fishing. And again, October, sometimes in November, is some of the best fishing we have. So there's a good chance you're going to see this for quite a while here. So check the website, seaforthlanding.com. It's getting a little easier to find trips right now during the week, but the weekends right now are definitely jam-packed. So if you want to make any of those reservations, still give yourself a little extra time. Got our full schedule up on the website there for those half days, the full days. So got 1 day, day and a half. A few longer trips sneaking in there if you want to try and sneak out on something a little bit longer there. You can make your reservation straight online there. You can always get a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down and visit us in person. Might want to avoid the beach the next couple days here. We've got a pretty busy weekend in the Bay here. We've got the Pacific Islander Fest this weekend.
So
that tends to get really busy down here. But, hey, it's, you know, also worth, if you want to come down and enjoy that and then come stop by, absolutely, you know, go pick up some of that great food, then stop by, do some tackle shopping. We've got the Mission Bay Fest. There's something going on at Mariners Point here this weekend. So definitely going to be a busy weekend down here. Honestly, I don't know if we even have any fishing trips left available for this weekend if you don't have reservations already. So, like I said, give yourself a few days, make some reservations, and, you know, get out there. There's still some great weather, some great fishing, lots of stuff still to catch.
And some great sprinkle of yellowtail in the half day, too, Marcos. Laying a great time because of the light load.
They have been. And, you know, you got to be careful there because you see a few yellowtail on the count, and you may only see 10 reservations on the boat, but then we get 30 walk-ups. Definitely make reservations when you see that if you're going to come down here. But it's been some really good fishing. Said yellowtail on the half day, still some good bass fishing in there. I mean, you've got options no matter how long you want to go for.
Some great fall-time fishing, Marcos. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
Thank you, Marcos. And that's brought to you by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle shop. It's got the deli, the snacks, beverages, ice, and boating supplies. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle and the new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle for a full line of freshwater tackle, live bait, and everything you need for a great day on the lake. Dana Landing in Mission Bay, right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Launch Ramp, Mission Bay. And East County is right at the end of the 67, and Lemon Grove right there in, Broadway in Lemon Grove. And check them all out at danalanding.com.
All right, great spot. And go see one of the most knowledgeable guys about the Bay and insurance stuff.
Johnny, man, he's the master.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, great text here from Sean in Blossom Valley. He says, what makes a great trip for me and my son is to eat at A's Burgers, pick up a necessary tackle at Hogan's, and hop on the Fury for an overnight San Clemente Island trip. We do at least 4 trips a year like that.
That's
so
awesome. That's a perfect way to go about it there. You know, it's everything's close to the harbor, and it kind of starts the experience for everybody. So.
I've never been to A's Burgers.
You got
to
go.
It's good, huh?
It's been there for as long as I can remember.
I've seen it. I've been by it.
Yeah, and it looks the same as it has for 30 years. So.
Yeah, I think there's a barbecue.
There used to be a little barbecue.
Okay, it's not there anymore.
Not there anymore.
Yeah, I remember. I'm all about food.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the jam-packed phones, Corey.
Oh, let's do it. How about John Premier Mesa. Good morning.
That's okay. I'll go by Ed. That's no problem. But thanks for taking my call.
I was confused because we do have an Ed from Premier Mesa waiting, too. Good morning, John.
Okay. Yeah, good morning, guys. Okay, so, Brett, I live here in San Diego, but I'm not opposed to going to business if I could pick up something that I can't find here in town. And that's the case of I'm trying to I go through chest waders occasionally. It's more like a niche thing. I'll use them when if I'm trout fishing in my my kayak, you know, in cold water, or maybe surf fishing in the wintertime, you know. So I'm looking for I'd like to find a shop that has a decent selection, but it's not going to break the bank because I use them so seldomly. Is that something you guys carry at Hogan's?
You know, unfortunately, chest waders are one of the things we don't carry. I know some of the kayak shops, especially, they do carry some of those for the guys that sit in the kayaks there and for the surf fishing. It's such a unique item that, and there's different styles and different sizes. It's just not something we've ever gotten into. We carry, of course, extra tough boots and stuff like that, but not the chest waders.
Yeah. I'd go check out one of your local Turner's Outdoorsman's. They probably have a great selection of chest waders because they do hunting and fishing. And,
correct.
Turner's Outdoorsman has, that's usually right up their bag.
And you got to try them on. It's a tough to order thing.
Yes, for sure.
So you definitely have to try those
you
on.
You don't want to order it over the internet and get it and it's like, oh man, this is the wrong size.
Right? Wrong thing.
It's
so important to mention too, if you're listening and you're thinking chest waders for a kayak, be very, very extremely careful because if you do tip over and you don't have...
Wear your personal flotation device.
Or wear a wading belt.
Yeah,
you got to wear a wading belt.
And the wading belt would keep the water from coming in the wader.
Most of it. Not a recommended thing to do, use. Chest waders are not a recommended thing on a kayak.
No.
Not your best choice.
I envisioned a nightmare. I just had to say something.
But they do make kayak... waterproof pants.
Correct, and that's a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah. So the best thing to do is go to like places like Fast Lane Kayaks and Mission Bay, and they have the right outfit for you. Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Ron's got everything there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If not, Salty Crew makes it.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. And as far as waders go, if you want the best waders, Sims makes the best waders. Yeah. They're by far the best waders. But you know they have a tendency to be pretty high end. But I'd go to Turner's Outdoorsman if you want waders or a kayak shop like Fastlane to go check out something that is appropriate for a kayak. Yeah, but like again, if you wear waders on a kayak, make sure you have a very good wading belt on.
That could be a scary situation.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. I have a great text from Dino in Lakeside. He says, good morning, guys. Awesome show this morning. My question is about Dana Point's launch ramp. I have always wanted to trailer my boat up to Dana from San Diego, but wonder how busy the ramp gets, bait barge, and what are the hot bite days. On the hot bite days, what do you think?
So number one, bait barge. It's Everingham, same as San Diego.
Yeah,
so
which is the best.
24 hours a day, which really eliminates the Saturday morning, Sunday morning bait rush there. Because if guys are there at 4 a.m., they get bait. If they're there at 5 a.m., there's no huge line that they're stuck in. So that's an awesome feature that we have. Launch ramp's pretty good. Summertime months, get there early if it's a Saturday morning there. Parking is pretty decent. It's not as big as it once was, but they did open up a little bit more space there. So you can launch a pretty good-sized boat there just July and August, like anywhere else.
It could be a nightmare.
It can be a little tough. Weekdays, typically not a problem.
Though. Do they have overflow anywhere? Like where you
parking
can go?
Parking-wise?
Yeah.
They'll sometimes make a little room, but typically no.
No.
Yeah, so it's a first-come, first-serve, but I would say...
So once the lot is full, they won't even let you in.
That's correct. Yeah, they'll have an attendant there. But rarely does it fill up. You've probably got right now maybe 15 to 20 days out of the entire year where it's going to be filled up by 7 a.m.
You know what? I remember a text that we had on this show like 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and a guy had gotten ticketed. Well, he parked in the washdown station.
Yep.
Where it said literally they're full at the entrance, but he thought he found a parking spot. Do not do it.
Do not do that. I don't care where you're at. Don't park in front of the washdown station.
And it's a great – I used to launch there all the time and take my Davis up there and go to – run. It's a great run to Catalina, easy access to Catalina and some of the other spots. They have a great washdown station, which San Diego doesn't have any washdown stations. And that's really nice. I mean, it's pay. You got to pay.
But it's easy.
But it's a nice launch ramp, too.
And it's a 3 minutes in and out of the harbor there.
And on the way out is Everingham Brothers Bait.
Correct.
Highly encourage you, if you haven't been out of Dana Point, stop at Hogan's on the way.
Come on in. You can get a boat trailer in our parking lot in the mornings. Afternoon, midday can be a little tough there, but in the mornings there, no problem. Till about 10:30 or so. Yeah, you can come in, grab your tackle. You can grab a breakfast burrito. Keep on going there, and it's a good little
program. And I can tell you this. It's 54 miles to Clemente.
Yep.
from there. Yeah.
Right.
And it's only like
30 or less than 30 miles to the east end of Catalina.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is a great direction, really, because in the evening you're coming home.
Catalina, coming from Avalon back home to Dana Point's a good angle.
A good direction.
Yeah.
I think it's 32 miles, something like that, from what I remember, to Avalon. Something like that.
Right, 29 plus or minus. Yeah,
somewhere in that range, yeah, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Corey.
Okay, how about this? As said, Ed. Ed and Mira Mesa, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. Hey, Corey, I was wondering, since we're going to have a haul show and that, are you going to come out with anything new? Like new colors, on your fish rubber and stuff like that?
Well, I'm always creating and cycling around and looking at new things and having fun with it. I mean, that's what you do. Why, after 25 years, I'm still having fun doing it, right? So, absolutely. Let's do it, Ed.
Yeah. And MC Swim Bites are available a lot of great places. Like, you don't put them in every shop, but you select shops, right?
I couldn't. Logistically, I couldn't, right? So, I couldn't have them everywhere. And the small group of shops I have are like family to me, as Breck and Stephanie are, and as Fisherman's Landing, you know, Doug and Rick and Brandon and the boys and Dana Landing. I better stop because I'm going to forget something.
Well, that's like when I was thanking everybody on the 31st anniversary show. Frank LaPresa says, you better be careful.
Right. Yeah, I'll stop right there. But everybody's like family to me.
Well, we appreciate that. And Corey really pours one of the best baits you'll ever see, not just in aesthetics, but also just the quality and durability of the bait, too.
Yes.
You know, it really is a high-quality bait, and you'll catch multiple fish typically on them, which is awesome.
Yes.
You know?
And who pours those baits?
I know, every single one.
Corey pours every single one. I can't believe it.
Seriously, from counting and bagging to shipping.
Everything.
I just went to UPS yesterday. Yeah, I mean,
you're an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go fishing.
Yeah, there you go. Need to do that. All right, you have a great text.
I do.
Yeah.
There's actually like six or ten of them that are referring to bait, and I just happened to pick Larry from Carlsbad. He says, good morning, guys. Does Hogan sell fresh bait for surf fishing? And also, are there bonito biting in the harbor? Thanks.
Well, we absolutely have fresh bait for surf fishing. On the fresh bait end, we carry live lugworms there, come in a little container you can purchase. We also have cured ghost shrimp, not live ghost shrimp, but they're cured. So you actually have the real shrimp, not frozen. You can leave it in the refrigerator for, you know, a couple of days, couple of weeks even. They won't spoil. Great bait.
And that's as good as a live ghost shrimp.
Absolutely.
It still has the color.
It's still fresh.
Still has the color. If you set them right next to each other, other than the fact that one's not wiggling, you'd look exactly the same.
Yeah.
The only thing I do with the cured is I use a little bit of bait thread there, put it on your hook, wrap that thread around because they are a little softer than a live one there, but it's a ghost shrimp. That's a great all-time surf bait.
And of course, everything eats them.
Yeah, everything eats them. And then we have all the frozen bait as well, too, all your classics. Bonito in the harbor, not in the last few weeks so much that I've heard of, but kind of that time of year where we should start seeing some here pretty soon off the harbor and off the piers.
I like it.
Ghost shrimp's also an awesome bait in the bay, too.
It's as good as it gets. Everything eats it.
Yeah.
Period, end of story. Everything. You can catch anything in the bay.
Opal-eye, sargo, yellowfin croaker.
You'll catch a halibut on them even.
Halibut,
too. Yeah. They'll eat them. Yeah.
Do you guys have any bonefish in Dana Point?
We do.
We do.
Every so often, you know, a customer will come in. I caught this fish. I got a picture. I don't know what it was. And we've got a little sand flat back over by the Marine Institute there. And there's a handful of bonefish over there. You know, same thing.
So crazy.
I don't know how they got there or where they came from, but they're there.
They're in there.
So
cool.
Such a neat thing. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
With gas prices going crazy, you certainly need to get the lowest price possible for your car or truck, and especially your trailer boat. That's why you need to visit Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You're not going to just save pennies. You will save real money when you fill up at Summit Gasoline. Summit does not compromise on service. Oh, no. Great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean everything is. The great sound system, and of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Get discounted Everingham Live Bait Certificates, your free 100 pounds of ice with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, and soda for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
This is Rock Cod Rick for Adventure in Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer, or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure in Camping park it for you. It's simple. Check out their website, adventureincamping.com, select from over 75 campgrounds they serve, decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs, request a quote for your desired vacation dates, then just show up and start your adventure. Dallas and I did exactly that, and it was incredible. We chose a beautiful Mammoth Area campground. Adventure in Camping delivered the trailer to our spot. We showed up, enjoyed a clean, spacious trailer without any of the hassle. When it was time to go home, we just closed the door and drove away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure in Camping is for you. Check out adventureincamping.com for details. Make sure to mention Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special 20% off offer, but this special won't last long, so go to adventureincamping.com today.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and we're having so much fun having Breck from Hogan's in here. And if you want to join
such
us,
a great guy,
super cool. 213-432-1090. We're giving away a full day trip on the Liberty, or you could text us via the app.
Yeah. Hey, Zach from Capel Beach wants to know: is your in house rod wrapping, and what is it busy?
It's busy.
Do you have in-house rod wrapping?
Yeah, we do. We're very fortunate. Constantino works for me. He worked at the Jig Stop for about 30 years before he came to us. So he's built as many rods as probably anybody out there. We do in-house rod repair, in-house rod building. We're probably a couple of months out if you want to build a custom rod. And you know.
I mean, blanks are tough to get, kind of.
Blanks are kinda, tough.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Guides?
Guide's not a problem.
Okay.
You know, there's been some changes in the manufacturing, but, you know, the Alps guides are pretty readily available. Fuji, just there's no more black guides, so that did put a little wrench in things there. Blanks would be the biggest hang-up. If you're set and you need a certain blank, we just have to take that one by one.
I know CalStar has been really tough. I mean,
really
of course,
tough.
That's the best, but it's tough to get cuts up to get blanks.
Yeah. American-made, but they're getting their products from who knows where and difficult.
And staffing and such
everything.
Like that.
It's staffing, but they are one of the best, like you said. So sometimes that's just worth waiting for.
Wait for it, Order it up and just be patient.
Now's a good time to order for next year.
There's your hint right there. And so you do a lot of custom rod wrapping.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. All right. Let's jump back on the phones.
Let's do it. How about Steve? Steve Cohn from Calexico. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup, Steve.
Yeah, my question is, every time I go on the party boat out of San Diego, I bring my my drag scale, set my drag, and never fails a boat crew guy and says, it doesn't work, or just negative, and he takes my rod and he adjusts it by hand. And my question is that any good, or what's the deal with that?
There's nothing wrong with setting a drag with a drag scale. The only thing I would say is it's okay to also have a conversation with the crew member and kind of see what they're recommending. But then you can also go back and kind of put a reference on your scale. If they say, hey, you know, fish at about 15 pounds, or if it's heavy tackle, maybe 18 or 20 pounds there. The scale doesn't lie is the big thing.
Right.
You know, the two views on that is those guys are doing it day in, day out, so they can do it by feel a lot of times.
They can do it, like, blindfolded,
they can
literally.
Do it blindfolded, yeah. And you just get used to it. But, you know, when you're coming from home and you set it there, the only recommendation I always make is when you set that drag at home, by the time you get out here and the temperature changes or you've caught a fish and your drags are actually heated up there, that's where you really want to double check it, is once you're on the boat. And maybe somebody walked by and bumped it or thought it was their rod. So it's always good to double check it, but don't be afraid to use your scale there. Just you want to make sure that you're working with what the recommendations are as well.
All right. Good hint.
It is a good
one. Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. A good text from another one of your locals, Gavin in San Clemente, wants to know, how does your consignment department work?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. We offer a consignment service for customers there, and very straightforward. You know, typically it's rods and reels, but if somebody says, hey, you know, I bought a new Talica and I want to get rid of my old whatever it is here, bring it on in. We'll figure out about what that selling price should be. Put it in our consignment case. And if you want to consign a reel, the shop takes 30%. You get paid back in cash, and it's a pretty straightforward program. So it's a good way if you're upgrading gear to get rid of your older gear. Or sometimes folks are moving, and they go, oh, you know, I'm moving inland. I don't need my saltwater gear anymore. And it changes daily. You know, we've got a handful of guys that they're stopping by every week, and you never know what's going to come in.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat thing. So
that's kind of neat, because not many shops do that.
No,
really,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's just a good service, and the guys buying it are excited, and the guys selling it are excited, and
it keeps everybody happy.
Keeps everybody happy, absolutely.
Yeah, and you'll give them an idea of what you think it'll bring.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of give them what we think fair market value is on it there, and some guys say, hey, I just want to get rid of it, and so other guys say, I want to hold out, and whatever it is, we'll try to work with you on that.
Okay.
So.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Why not, right? Yeah, that's like you say, Corey, very, very few shops do something like that.
No, I've seen it, I think, in only one or two other shops.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a good thing for everybody there. And like I said, you literally never know what's coming in the door. So.
Yeah, kind of
cool.
And it's good for you. It brings people into your shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, it brings a lot of people in. And like I said,
it keeps the one guy in line to buy another reel, and it keeps the guy looking for that reel coming in. And
and whether guys are starting out and they're just, you know, starting with a Penn Jig Master, or, you know, guys are looking for some hidden gem, an old school TSM2 or the old school Terramar rods, you know, everybody's hunting for that magic.
Do you ever
thing.
Get any of those old blanks in there?
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
For some reason, I don't think they make it into the. I don't know.
No, we got a list of people already waiting for some of that stuff.
But like what? Well, some of the true lines.
Some of the true lines there, the old Roddies, you know, and there's all these different genres. You've got your collectors, you've got your guys that just love the older gear, you've got your guys that are, you know, looking for something modern to save a few bucks.
I have to ask, do you collect? I mean, do you have a collection of...
I've got some real old vintage pens and stuff like that, just that are more neat than anything.
Right,
you know, 1.0s and 2.0s and stuff like that you just don't see all the time just because they're unique, and I appreciate the history of where this fishing has come from there. You can see the lineage and how much it's evolved, and, you know, all the way back to the old leather drags. No particular collection other than just the nostalgia.
Yeah,
it.
It's cool.
So.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You have a good one.
Well, I do, and let's see here. Bear with me. It says, this comes back to our connections, right? We were talking about it earlier in the show, and it says, hey, guys, when you're doing a top shot, mono to braid, or mono to fluoro, what knots do you use, and do the knots change based on line weight? And he says, great show as always, Sean.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the shop, if you're bringing in a reel for a top shot and we're going Spectra to mono or even Spectra to fluoro, our typical connection is going to be a Tony Pena connection there. The reason I like that is because it goes out through the guides real smooth. The tag end points back at the reel, so when you're casting or even fly lining a bait and it's just slowly going, it doesn't tend to catch so much on the guides there.
Seamless.
Yeah. Very clean, very seamless. A little bit more complicated to tie than an RP, but if you're tying your own, be comfortable in what you're tying. You'd always rather tie a simple knot well than a complicated knot poorly. So, you know, if you're comfortable tying an RP, great. Be comfortable in it.
Tony Payne, you're not the one where you put the knot in the line and then you butt it up against it.
Yeah.
And that's it's a little more complicated than the RP, but it's still doable.
You know, you're gonna take a few tries and put it together there, but it really just goes through the guide so much smoother than some of the others without it being real complicated. So that's kind of our, you know, 10-pound top shot to call it 80-pound. After that, we start looking at, is it hollow? Do we serve it? Do we do a bimini? There's a lot of different variations on that there. As far as mono to fluoro goes, same thing. You know, if you want to tie a Seaguar knot, that's about as simple as it gets. A little bit bulky, but basically two lines, overhand loop, really simple to tie with a short piece of fluoro there. Or, you know, uni is also fine. Be comfortable in what you're tying. Tie your knot properly, as opposed to worrying about trying to do something complicated.
I love exactly what you're saying, because I'm a man of simplicity. Mm-hmm. And if it works, why am I going to change?
Yeah.
I forever tied the back-to-back uni.
Yeah.
But it's so big and bulky, I never changed. It's just something I always used, never had it fail.
Yep.
And since learning the RP knot, I have never gone back. I forget how to tie it back-to-back uni, as a matter of fact, you know?
And that uni back-to-back, love it in, you know, fluoro to mono, similar size, but in that spectra, I really would do that RP or that Tony Pena, because you have dissimilar lines.
And I like the Tony Pena, like you say, when going through the guides, but I'm like with Corey, I like the simple, and the RP or John Collins knot is easy. One thing I learned from Chris Minnick, who is like one of those scientists that studies knots and tests, is when you finish the RP knot, rather than just going through once at the end, go through three times.
Sure.
And
or at least double it.
Or at least double.
Yes.
Like go once, go twice.
Yep.
I do three, sometimes two. But I have found less failure by doing that.
And I agree with that. Even
less slippage.
Even back to like a Bimini to an Albright, a lot of times, you know, you do a double finish on that finish side there. So I agree, because otherwise that spectra is so small with that doubled line, whether it be fluoro or mono, that you can get a little gap in there. And if it's not tight, it could slip. So that second or third line will plug that gap.
So not only on the slippage end,
right,
but by double or tripling, it also protects that, I don't know what to call it, where you've bent the fluoro, right?
Yeah, where you double
so
it.
So when you're bass fishing, you're making 1,000 casts. It really helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The spectra protects that part of it, because that's usually where it fails.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good times.
Right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Let's do that. How about Ryan calling from Irvine. Good morning, Ryan. Appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as always. My question for Breck is, does Hokins do any charters by any chance? They open up charters to their customers. And do you guys carry helium tanks?
Good question there. Charters, we don't do any in-shop charters. Over the years, we've done a few and kind of an open party type of thing. But we can always recommend local boats within Dana Point there. Helium tanks we've carried, other than helium has become almost impossible to get a hold of here. There's a worldwide shortage on helium.
Just one of those crazy things, huh?
It's I've learned more about it than I ever want to know. A little bit has to do with Russia, because they're the world's largest exporter of helium, and it's a byproduct of mining, and it only is produced in the wintertime. So in the U.S., we don't have the cold temperatures. Russia does throughout the year, and they can produce it. So with all the embargoes and everything going on, everybody's kind of scrambling for helium. So we've had them before. When we can get them again, we will. So
yeah, crazy.
Now, one hint I might give you on the helium, and I'm looking it up here, and I learned this from our buddy Mark Wheeler from Encinitas Ford, who is a man who knows the bargain, let me just say that. And heliumtanks.com, and it's a place in Montclair, and they'll deliver to various points in Southern California. They do a lot of aluminum tanks, and a little bit better price than like Airgas or some of those other guys. So you might look that up, heliumtanks.com. And even though they're in Montclair,
they will deliver into various.
And that's
places.
A great tip. If you can get a tank and you need it, it's they're tough to get. So
yeah.
Great tip.
So, yeah, jump on that.
That's good stuff.
Hopefully they have tanks.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. You have another one?
I do, and it's actually refers to surf fishing.
Okay.
And says, good morning. I've been wanting to get in at some surf fishing those days. I can't get out on the sport boats. Can you recommend any must-have stick baits?
Yeah.
This comes from Alex in San Carlos.
I mean, the must-have of the last few years is that Lucky Craft 110.
We always hear Gundy.
Yeah, it's a suspending stick bait. It works great. Rapala makes some good baits as well. Yozuri makes some good baits. There's also Lucky Craft 115. They're great, and they're easy to fish baits. You know, if you want to just cast it and retrieve it, that's all you have to do, and you'll get a fish on it. Some of those guys get pretty techie. It's a suspending bait, so depending on your wave condition, you can fish it a bunch of different ways. You can rip it down, let it kind of come back up to its natural buoyancy there. But chance of a halibut, chance of a white sea bass, definitely that's going to be one of your best baits in the surf.
I mean, it's a perfect grunion imitation, mm-hmm. really.
And
know?
Any particular color?
I'm not
or
a big,
size?
Not a big color person. The 110 is going to be a specific size. I think they're 5 3/4. The Lucky Craft, yeah. 5 3/4 inches or 5 1/4 off the top of my head here. For me, there's something called an MS series, which is a missing scale series. Looks like a natural bait fish. That would be my first choice, but we've had guys catch them all across the board. One recently this last year, the Cherry Berry. Pink stripe on the bottom, white bait on top.
Gundy's.
That was the hot one for how
oh, is that Gundy's?
Bait.
Yeah, well, that Gundy mentions it because
yep.
Breck's giving him the information. Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's so funny.
All right.
Crazy. Do you change the hooks out on those?
You know, they come with 3 trebles, which is kind of a lot. A lot of guys, including myself, I'll pull off that center treble. It'll change the action of the bait, but the big thing is that way when you want to release a fish, you don't have 3 different trebles.
Nothing
in the
worse.
Mouth of that.
And to get into your hand.
and it's a great calico bass bait, too. You know, people forget about that, but it really works well, especially in that shallow water there.
Yeah, I know those bigger Lucky Crafts, like the 190s and then like a current Sniper 170.
Sure.
Deadly for Cabrilla down in Loreto or Gonzaga or something like that.
And great baits there. And you'll get a calico bass on a 190, but it'll be a good one when you get it.
I like good ones. Good ones are good. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Oh, how about Doug? Doug Montebello. Good morning, Doug. Appreciate you joining
us. First time caller.
Yeah, first time caller.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially about fishing the weeds. What would be the lightest line you would want to get rid of, use, and does the color of the monofilament matter?
As far as when you're fishing up in the kelp there?
Yeah.
You know, the colder the water, the lighter the line. You'll always get more bites on that lighter line, so don't be afraid to drop down in the winter there, especially if you're fishing on your own boat. You're going to break off some fish, but if you're willing to go down 10 pound or 8 pound, you'll definitely get some more bites there. Color a line? Not so much for me. If you're using fluorocarbon, it's even more so irrelevant because that fluorocarbon is going to be your leader on the end. If you want to, you know, fish a live bait, definitely that light line is going to be 100% key. But on a plastic or something like that, you can go a little heavier on your fluoro there for better abrasion. 15 or 20, even in the winter, is not a bad option because the invisibility will always help you. And that way you have your abrasion resistance along the structure.
All right. Very good. Hey, Doug, thanks a lot for the call this morning. It's an interesting question
from
Hugo. Did
from
you see
Hugo.
That one?
No, I didn't see it.
Hi. Great show again. My son gave me a blank, a CalStar GF760L. Great blank.
Yep.
And he says, I was wondering if I can get some credit toward an already built rod like a 700 XLH and I pay the difference.
Give us a call at the shop. That'll be a more one-on-one question You know, it's not something we would normally do on an item that wasn't purchased from us, but give us a call at the shop there and let's see what you're looking for and let's see what we can help
you with.
And
good luck getting a 700 XLH.
700 XLH is, I don't want to say they're impossible, but I don't think I have any at the shop at the moment.
Yeah. A rare commodity.
It's a rare commodity these days, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, very desired rod for all that bluefin.
Yep, they're great rods. They're just few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump back into it.
Let's do it. How about Dennis? Dennis calling from Norwalk. Good morning, Dennis. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yes. I have a question about the line. You said about the mono, how many years in case you don't use it that often, and also compared to the braid and the Spectre line, the lifespan on it.
So your Spectra line is going to have the longest lifespan on it there. You know, mono may only be good for one to a couple of different trips there, where Spectra, you should be good for a couple of seasons, realistically. The downfall of Spectra is you rub it on the boat, you rub it on a rock, it has poor abrasion on it, so that's where you'd end up needing to replace it. But the benefit of Spectra is you're going to pay a little bit more up front, but you're going to fill your reel, and then from there just have to do small top shots. So in the long run, it's pretty cost effective. And it doesn't have memory like mono does. Mono will sit either on your reel or on a small spool, and it'll come off like a slinky. That's really not advantageous when you're trying to fly line a bait or give a good presentation. And the heat can affect it. So if it's sitting in a warm environment, that's another thing that'll really degrade the mono there. So mono's relatively inexpensive. So instead of trying to stretch line that's kind of old and going to put you at a disadvantage, start fresh. You know, your line's your one thing connecting you to that fish, and it's an easy thing that you can control in a trip for success there.
Now, what about fluorocarbon? That lasts a long time, right?
It does last a long time. Same thing. I wouldn't be storing it up in the attic in the heat there. Keep it out of the light. Keep it in a reasonable temperature environment. It lasts a long time. But in the same sense, if you're going on the trip of your lifetime and you've got some old fluorocarbon and you're not sure, get some new fluorocarbon.
Don't be afraid
of that. You know, it's
don't let the $40 or the $50 hold you back from the fish of a lifetime, like you're saying.
Absolutely. And every, you know, even a day trip anymore, you could catch the fish of your lifetime nowadays. So it's really a cool experience to be involved with. And don't worry about if your hook's rusty, put on a good hook. You know, if your line's questionable, put on fresh line. Set yourself up for success is the big thing.
That's a good point for sure. Hey, John in La Mesa also wants to set himself up for success too. I've been using thin wire hooks and landed a 40-pound yellowtail on one. When do you step up to a heavier gauge hook? It's a good question.
It is.
It's a great question. And to me, you know, once you're kind of 40-pound line and above where you can put some pressure, you got to start thinking about putting a little heavier gauge hook there. A Mutu Light, which has been one of our light wire circle hooks, 25 pounds kind of my cutoff for that because you start straightening hooks there. The Nautilus circle hook from Gamagatsu I love because it's a nice intermediate size there. Fish that on the larger sizes, maybe up to 50-pound line, but 30, 40, no problem. And then you step into like your owner Mutus, and of course from there into your super Mutus, stuff like that.
And then they have a Nautilus HD
as well, which is I like that hook a lot, a little less aggressive than a Mutu bend there. But your pound of line to me is really important, going to dictate how much pressure
that's
you can
the
put
dictator
on it. Correct.
Yeah, it's based on the hook. And I'm sure you have two, and you have two. Put on too thin a hook and pull and just straighten the hook out, right? Because if you like to pull and you like to use, you know, heavier line,
that's
the danger.
When I was fishing with you, Pete, on your boat, Field Research, and Ron and the boys and catching the Dorado, I played deckhand for a little while.
Sure.
What were those hooks? Because they were
That was the standard Nautilus circle hook.
Okay.
Awesome hook.
I liked it.
As an all-around hook, that is a great all-around hook. Yeah. Not too light, not too heavy. Yeah. Bait swims well with it there, and one of my favorites as well.
And this year I've been fishing a lot of the number ones and number twos.
Smaller hooks.
And it's a great small hook, and you can pull hard on them.
You can pull hard.
We caught 50-pound tuna on it this year. And
hooked in the right place.
You know, on 30-pound test.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we weren't pulling as hard as we would if we were on 50-pound.
Yeah, 50 or 60, you can put some real pressure. And those Nautiluses, to me, I would step up to at least a owner Mutu. And anything past, you know, 60 and above, you're into that HD or Super Series at that point there. So.
For sure.
I like it. Good stuff. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality snook, salmon, brent all season long. long after you've caught your salmon. We're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
This is Bob Hoots at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Talstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Talstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Talstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We've got Breck rigged and ready with the coin. Go for it. And it goes to the texter, who's Gary in San Diego. Wins a full-day trip on the Liberty, man.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. And, Breck, great job, man. We fired a lot of stuff at you here. And you handled it quite well. And I learned a lot about line and connections and hooks and everything else. And how do we find you there at Hogan's?
Well, you can call us here on the phone, 949-493-3528. Always shoot us an email, hogans@hotmail.com, or just come on down the shop, 34320 Pacific Coast Highway, right on the way to Dana Point Harbor. So come
can't
down
miss it,
us.
Really. Just right in that shopping center, right?
Right there, right behind A's Burgers, Carl's Jr., and about a quarter mile from the water's edge.
The edge of the turn off into the Dana Point
That's
Harbor.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, thanks, and appreciate that, and good luck with the shop.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah, great to have you here, and I want to thank Christian for manning the phones. He did a great job as usual from back there, and a lot of good stuff from Corey today too. Corey, thank you for being here and
talking grunion.
Well, you're talking. Yeah, I learned a lot about that grunion. In fact, we got Scott Sherman fired up about the lifeguards now, so maybe we'll get those guys to avoid the grunion.
Doesn't it make sense?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So no, it makes a lot of sense.
I got that off the soapbox.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good stuff. We got to protect those fish. We need more of them. Hey, and tomorrow's going to be a really fun show. Steve and Will from Promar are going to be talking lobster. Yes, lobster
time of the year.
Starts a week from today. Can you believe that?
Can't.
I know. It's going to be crazy. And so if you want to learn more about lobster fishing, these are the guys tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Of course, we want to thank Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And, of course, the inventor of the text-to-show option, and he always feeds us that. So thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.